Dear Shooter, episode 100 means we're now 2 years old. Our podcast is finally out of diapers and ready to begin toddler chaos. Today we begin the temper tantrum with, Dear Builder, maybe you should at least know what the parts are before you start a new build.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip on, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that, that isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Happy New Year, bitches.
Someone needs to learn her last name.
Yeah, that'll never happen. I mean, what? We were in Louisiana the last time someone knew how to pronounce our name right.
Well.
So, it's been a crazy couple of weeks since the last time we were here.
A lot has fucking happened.
Oh, my God. And the most recent of which is we ran into a guy, and he called us up wanting to build an AR. And, this delved into some craziness. Because he originally called up and was asking about lowers because that's the only part he really truly knew went into building an AR.
But this is our guy. He's the guy that's just getting started.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we happen to know a thing or two about what he's talking about, so he came to the right place.
Oh, he absolutely did.
So, question. Is he going to try to put it together himself?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, so...
I think we ought to put it in a puzzle box with how many pieces there are with a picture on the front.
Yeah, but give him the instructions in Chinese.
And well, they make a builder board where you have to put all the pieces in a very specific spot with the names. They make that thing. I think this would be a great gag gift for him.
It'd be great.
But he's not doing that. He's probably going to build the lower, and he's going to need some help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he has bought a complete upper.
Oh, that's cheating.
He is cheating just a little bit, but at the end of the day, he's going to accomplish the goal. And I know that he's choosing a caliber that is not exactly an ideal for us, but he's building an AR, which right. means it's Barbies for men.
He's building a caliber he wants a folding stock for.
He just wants that so it fits in a case better. But
with the long barrel.
It's not exactly a great reason to choose that.
Moot point. Long barrel.
I know. It's a total moot point.
Moot point.
Yeah, I agree. But he's compensating for something.
Not a long barrel.
As most of us do.
No, I have a feeling that once he builds this, he's going to go, oh, that was a mistake. And, oh, I should have done that differently. Because we all do. Even those of us have been building these for years. When we get done with a build, I think we all sit there and go, I should have done that differently.
But that lets you do another build.
I know.
Which drives the industry. So I'm all for it.
We do need to drive the industry.
That's right.
Now, staying on the topic of guns, because, you know, of course, this is a gun podcast, right? I got to handle the new Ruger. This thing's kind of cool. It's the Ruger. I had to get my cheat sheet. It's the RXM because I didn't even get to shoot this thing.
Now wait a second.
I got to touch it, but I don't know what it's
called. Wait. Is this the one that they're trying to go ultra slim with?
No. So this is Ruger got in collaboration with Magpul.
Oh, I see.
And this is a total drop-in system into the frame
with Glock parts.
85% compatibility is what they're claiming.
Interesting.
I'm actually pretty impressed with this thing. Now, I was kind of curious that now it is fitted for an optic. It's optic ready, but it has suppressor height sights.
They can't make a handgun anymore without that little function.
No, agreed, but I'm not quite sure why they needed suppressor height sights on it.
Did they provide a threaded barrel?
No, and that was the other thing that kind of baffled me.
Well, you can only do so much for that price, y'all.
I was kind of impressed with that. So MSRP on this is $499. I know that at one point Midway had it for $399.
Wow. So they're going to play in the Glock Dagger world.
Yes. And that's what this thing is. I mean, it's Magpul and Ruger collaborating for another Glock 19 clone, Glock 17 clone. And I think they are supposed to have a 1917 and one other size.
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure on all the details on this, but cool gun. But the one thing that I kind of noticed in the discussion I got into, I've never disparaged Glock. They're good guns. They go bang every time. But they do not fit my hand. And it doesn't matter what generation. And it's because of the grip angle. Every Glock clone that I've handled had the right grip angle.
Well, the industry is fixing that. They all recognize that it was awkward, right? Now, you're right. The Glock is the Honda Civic of the pistol world, and it's the reason it's the most copied pistol in existence, because it's wildly popular.
Right.
Because of its price point, it's utilitarian, and it's dependable. All these clones, can they say the same thing, is what I'm asking?
Well, I mean, if I was looking for a Glock clone and reliability, durability, all of those things coming into play, who am I going to pick? A company that I've never heard of or Ruger?
Well, that's a toss-up, honest with you, because I've had Ruger pistols in the past.
Okay, how about Magpul?
Well, that's probably the thing that intrigues me the most, because nobody knows more about polymer injection molding for firearms parts than Magpul.
Absolutely not.
They've got a really good experience and track record with doing that.
They kind of have it figured out.
Yeah. So I'm encouraged. So you handled it. Did you shoot it?
I did not get to shoot it.
Okay.
The fog was so thick. We couldn't see the end of the gun. It's only a pistol.
Yeah, it was pretty bad up on the mountain. I don't think we could have seen 10 yards.
Oh, geez.
In all disclosure, it was Michael's gun.
Oh, fair enough.
And it was, what, 16 degrees? We weren't going to go outside and shoot.
All right.
Even Newt said no.
Yeah, you were not going outside. Nope.
She did, too.
That's funny.
It was a pretty cute no.
Cool.
But I've actually like to go and talk to Ruger and Magpul when we hit shot.
All right, we can do that.
I'm kind of curious about this because I think this is another one. This kind of goes into what I started doing last year and looking at a lot of these budget guns, especially for newer shooters. And as far as I'm concerned, if it's reliable, the gun fits, it goes bang every time, and we're talking, 15 plus one magazines here, I don't see a problem with it.
A, kind of like you to shoot it first.
I definitely want to shoot it.
And B, magazine size doesn't matter since most of your class is from Colorado and they have rules.
I know.
Well, that's going to be something they're going to have to address. So you'll see short magazines coming from it. Is it a proprietary mag?
They're using the Magpul Glock mags.
Okay, so it's not proprietary. There's already a fix for this.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing. Like I said, 85% compatibility with Glock parts. So the big things are going to be trigger, barrel, magazines.
Right. And so this is a defensive pistol, something in a concealed carry type of?
I think it would be, especially in the G19 version.
Okay. All right.
That's at least that, and I guess I can't say it's that version, but that size.
Okay.
You're looking at subcompact.
Nice.
So
I'd be interested.
I'm encouraged. The other thing. So it's pre-drilled for optics. It fits. I know it does the
RMR.
The RMR. It does the Dr. Optics, and it also does the RMSCs.
Nice.
So
that's smart.
And it's pre-drilled, so there's no plates.
So the optic goes directly to
it
the frame.
It goes directly to the frame, which I think is the best way to do it.
That is very, very smart. So. Very smart.
So I guess we got to start. We have new sponsors this year.
Well, that's the danger of being 100 episodes in is people listen now. So
I know. What
let's
the
pay
heck?
Some bills.
Yes, let's pay some bills.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
So let's talk about the not-so-concealable weapon.
No.
Oh, we're going for the vehicle again, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Vegas, New Orleans.
Well,
oh, all over the world at this point. Yeah.
Well, you know, this was our New Year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I don't think that we're all going to be shocked when this impacts renting a car at the airport next time. this was a rental truck, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay, so if you have a driver's license, or if you're from a foreign country, they don't really care, but you can rent a car of pretty much any configuration if you've got the cash.
Right.
But you have to be over 25.
25?
Yeah, it is. That was the one thing I couldn't believe. Even like when I turned 21, I couldn't rent a car until I was 25.
Insurance, probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
But see, that's stupid to me because I'm 21. I only have insurance on my own vehicle, but I'm going to buy the insurance for the rental car. What do they care?
Well, you're more apt to go to a bar at 21 and have a drink and climb in that rental car.
You buy the insurance, you just got to bring them back the steering wheel, right?
You're still missing the point, but okay.
So, yeah. So, Bourbon Street. Guy rents a truck and drives down Bourbon Street, killing, what, 10 people? 14 people? Yeah, 14 people.
He did kill 14 people?
That's what I'm getting, 14 fatalities.
Jeez. That's horrible.
And 35 injured. So, I mean, this is nuts. And foreign.
Was he foreign? I mean, name is foreign.
Read that name.
Well, he was an Army veteran.
Yeah.
Shamsuddin Jabbar.
Something similar to that anyway.
No, I'm pretty sure. Well, I'm probably butchering that like everybody butchers our name. But I'm saying he's not native. Even though they are saying he was an Army veteran.
Did he leave any kind of manifesto, rhyme or reason why he did this thing?
Not that I've seen.
Because now we got to blame the driver, right?
Well, no.
It's the truck.
It is the truck. Okay. Don't you remember back in the day, right? Rush used to do this. It was the SUV update. And it was always the SUV's fault.
Well, he was satire and making a point. But we're getting so used to people blaming the gear that I just wanted to make sure that we weren't on Looney Tunes.
Well, I think we're going there because, you know, there's another article. And as always, we're going to link to all this. But, you know, are we at the point where we're going to start banning vehicles or holding vehicle manufacturers accountable?
Well, there's only a few more weeks left that Biden can pardon another 100,000 people, so...
We'll get to that. You're jumping ahead now.
No, but I'm saying that's why it's all happening right now.
I think you're absolutely right.
So what was used? What was the vehicle actually used?
From what I understood...
In New Orleans?
It was the New Orleans. Was a Cybertruck, the Tesla.
I'm going to say that's what I thought they drove in front of Trump Tower.
That is what they drove in front of Trump Tower.
There's, I was just curious because if it was something, you know, big and nasty.
Rented pickup in New Orleans.
Pickup, okay.
So yeah, the Trump Tower thing, that was a Cybertruck.
I got you. All right.
They don't have Cybertrucks in New Orleans. They have pickup trucks.
Fair enough. I mean, it's a rental, so I mean.
Does that really matter?
Well, you can rent a Ryder truck, right? You can rent a cargo van.
Well, now you're talking Oklahoma City.
Right, exactly right. So here we go, guys. You're blaming the gear. That's going to impact your ability to rent a car now.
You know what? You're probably not wrong. Now, so the Trump Tower, the guy in that, he was Army SF?
Let's just get the tinfoil wrapped right. So, I understand, and you guys out there, if I'm wrong, can correct me, but the body found in the vehicle was unrecognizable. However, his passport was not quite burnt bad enough to be not readable. And they found a passport of a former Special Forces guy that was pretty acclaimed, actually. He ran around with Tim Kennedy in the early days. I don't know any guy that was an operator that would leave his passport out in the open, let alone go take it with him on something like this.
It's like, yeah, on a mission, they strip all identity.
Well, you know, we've all seen Six Underground.
But they needed a scapegoat that had ties to the military, ties to 2A environments.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think it's going to fly. I don't think this float's going to work. I don't believe it was that dude that drove the car. Those Tesla trucks have a self-drive function, like any of the other Tesla cars.
So you're saying that it might have been his body in the vehicle, but he wasn't. This was not a willing thing. He was probably.
It was his passport in that vehicle. His body was burnt beyond recognition.
Well, right. It might or might not be his body. Just had to be male at that point, right?
Right.
Right.
So,
dental
records will finally find out. And Kevin Crichton got this right. We should give these kinds of things 72 hours before we start making claims and conjecture.
Right.
Because we don't know anything right at the moment.
No, and my guess is we probably won't for several weeks. That's typically how this stuff plays out because everybody, we see it time and time again, everybody jumps to conclusions, and then the whole thing unravels the next 7 to 10 days.
Yeah. I don't know. Dangerous and scary times. Back to head on a swivel. We've talked about this before.
Well, and I thought about this. This is something I kind of spent the break over the holidays kind of wrapping my head around. You know, we've talked about we're preparing for the government to, you know, basically declare war on us, the Second Amendment community. But, and I never really thought about it, but yeah, there's probably people on the other side of the aisle that feel the same way we did, that now that Trump is in office, the government's going to declare war on them. And they may be gearing up for it.
Yeah, but I'm going to stumble over this because it's hard because it's emotional.
Use your words.
Yes, the other side is having a panic moment because they've lost control of their little government that they had in place. And things are going to change. You're already seeing people like the FBI director. He quit today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, quit. Done. And I think there's a lot of folks you're going to start watching come out of positions because if they leave, there's not much they can do from a prosecution standpoint.
I think you're exactly right. They're getting out before they get prosecuted. Now, I don't know on some of the things that I think have been done, is there a statute of limitations? Do you get free of prosecution just because you left the office?
Hillary Clinton.
That doesn't count. She's government. They don't get in trouble.
They just gave her the medal of I'm the biggest piece
medal
of shit
of
on the planet.
Yeah.
She gets to sit in the corner. They slap her hand and say, stop it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and the problem with that is they just completely inviscerated what the Medal of Freedom means.
Agreed.
Now, I have heard that there is the precedent and there is the possibility that Trump could strip those medals.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
It has been done before. But there has to be major cause. I don't know that Trump will do it because I think he's going to see it as a waste of his time.
I would honestly agree with that. Let's just move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't need that soundbite anymore. Let's get past it.
Oh, exactly. Go away, Hillary. We don't want to hear from you anymore.
Yeah,
this is your last moment in the sun. Enjoy it. And now go away.
Yikes.
But this goes back to, and this is something that's been happening too, is all of these pardons that Biden's been issuing. Last I heard, it was over 4,000.
More than any of the last, was it 20 presidents combined?
Oh, something like that. I mean,
how do you get on that list? Like, I haven't done anything yet, but that'd be cool.
Yeah, the pre-pardoning thing.
So
that's
a preemptive pardon is not a thing.
It is, too. He did it for several people.
Yes. He also pooped his pants in front of the Pope.
Well,
that's not
know,
presidential either.
If so, that what it takes to forgive me, then.
Jeez. But no, he has done things in his last remaining days in office that are going to clog up the Supreme Court with bullshit for years to come.
Well, and from a political perspective, I get what he's doing, because what he's trying to do is, it's rules for radicals, right? He's trying to overload the system and pardon so many people that we don't notice the ones that he really wanted to pardon, i.e. four Chinese nationals that were in jail for espionage.
Does a pardon work on a non-citizen?
Apparently it does, because it was a, you go back to China, you don't come back, that's the condition.
Works for a turkey.
It does work for a turkey. But I would say that turkey's probably a natural-born citizen, so it probably is fair.
You just have to put feathers on and gobble, you're fine.
Okay, so note to self. Never get in trouble, put feathers on and gobble.
Right. But and there was also, I mean, there was illegal aliens that were convicted of violent, heinous crimes, right? The problem with a lot of these, though, is now you have taken violent, convicted felons and put them back into a system where they can go purchase a gun again.
They got their rights restored. I mean, complete exoneration.
Yes.
Interesting. I mean,
that's what a pardon is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of challenges to these pardons. I think the Supreme Court, if not a district court, is going to be very, very busy. The first 100 days are going to be a very interesting thing to watch, because that's when every new president tries to get stuff done.
Well, I think he needs to have somebody hired to just go through that and decide, this isn't worth our time to even deal with. Send that one to the courts. Don't send them all to the courts. Don't go, all 4,000 of them, you must review.
I worry about Trump's ego being able to let that do that, though. Because he's going to want to undo all of the stupid Biden stuff. Some of the stuff that Biden did, all right, let it go. But some of the really, really dumb stuff, I think on principle alone, he's going to have to try.
I think he's going to have to, because at the end of the day, until there is consequence to these kinds of actions, it's going to continue. And I mean, that's why we are where we are.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm hoping we start to see change, and I'm hoping that Vance shows me something. I've not seen a vice president in a while that's been worth a damn.
Well, we'll see when we get right back.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
You gotta love whiskey.
That's my absolute best commercial that I think you've ever done. It's well done. Thank you.
Well, you know.
10th Mountain thanks you.
But no, I think you're right. I think there is going to be a lot of changes. But here's the thing. There's going to be a lot of changes from a structural level at the federal government. But I don't think the normal people are going to notice.
Well, they're not going to notice because they don't want to pay attention. And that's what's got to change.
Well, whether you pay attention or not. You know, people are up in arms right now because you've got Musk and Ramaswamy going, we are going to cut complete agencies. And everybody is just up in arms, scared to death of this. When these agencies go away and nothing changes, that's what I want to see.
Cut them.
Well, yeah. I mean, government shutdowns. Last time we had a massive government shutdown was under Clinton. Nobody noticed.
I'm going to get hate mail over this, but at the end of the day, guys, they keep threatening to shut the government down.
Do it.
Let's just find exactly where they actually need to perform.
Right.
Shut it down.
Yeah. Well, and let make no mistake, when there's a government shutdown, what really shuts down?
Do you even notice?
No. And if the funny thing was, and we saw this under COVID, right? They kicked everybody out of the government that was non-essential. How many people
was
that?
Who was the essential?
That's what I'm saying, right? If they were non-essential, why are they there to begin with?
And then they brought them back and claimed the unemployment rate was at an all-time low.
Oh, I know.
You can't fire people. and then hire the exact same jobs back and call it a gain of employment. It doesn't work that way.
Never does.
You got nothing.
I got nothing. No, I don't. I have nothing. So, did you get any shooting done over the holiday?
I got a little, yeah. I discovered that a box that was labeled Six Creed that was said, pull bullets, these are all bad, actually shot just fine.
But then there's those that don't say anything that you're like, oh.
No. I have a box that says pull bullets, and trust me, you don't want to shoot them.
No, they won't shoot fine. Yeah, a whole separate case.
Because that's something else I pulled up. There, this whole article about what to do with bad ammo.
Yeah. If you're like me and you buy your ammo by the case and by lot number, if you run into a bad situation, I've got a bunch of it sitting on the shelf. And that's spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a financial investment into this that now I can't trust. That's a problem.
So what's your solution?
He puts it in a bucket and stares at it for the next 10 years.
I do that. She's not wrong. But I don't go back to that bucket of ammo until I have investigated a little bit. I will find another ammo source, and I hope and pray that they're going to be just as good,
right,
if not better.
Right.
We're working with some folks that are local to Wyoming, and I've never had an issue with their stuff. And they're little known, but it's called Opal Ammo. And everything that he's ever produced that I have shot has worked flawlessly.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've had problems with Federal. I've had problems with Winchester. And we're talking bigger brands. There's metric tons of that stuff on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but if I have a problem out of a bucket of ammo, I stop.
Right. Well, you know, you talk about Federal and you talk about Winchester, but think about this, you know, compared to Opal, you know, Opal's putting out, you know, what, a couple million rounds a year. These guys are putting a couple million rounds a week. So the volume statistically, look, you're making a widget. There's bound to be a flaw.
I completely agree.
You can't get around it.
I completely agree. And volume in this case isn't always your friend.
No, and you know you're going to have issues. We've all had issues. I have a couple of bullets sitting on my desk that I pulled out of. I mean, they were factory ammo, and the primers were put in backwards.
It's amazing how easy that is for a mechanical device to flip one.
I have a couple sitting there. The bullets seated backwards.
That's just a loss in quality control.
but that's just it. So you know, we mentioned Opal, and check them out. You know, what is it, opalmanufacturing.com or opalammo.com?
Opal Ammo.
Opal Ammo. Check them out, because some of these smaller guys, their quality is much, much higher because they don't deal in the volume.
Well, they have the manpower to take a look at the volume that they're putting out.
Right.
They're careful about it because their name does mean something to them.
Right. But what do you do with bad ammo if you get it? You know, I got a list here. The first one is contact your local police. I don't think I'd really do that. Because the reason is, they say that.
I know. What's that going to do for you?
Well,
where did you get this list?
This is from the NRA.
Oh, my gosh.
This is coming out of the NRA blog.
Contact the police.
Is that
number one?
Yeah, that's number one. And the context here is that the police will destroy it for you.
Now
we're going to have zombie ammo.
The last thing you want in any scenario is, hey, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Right. Yeah. you can also recycle it. They do tell you if you're going to recycle it that you need to tear it apart.
So you got to pull the bullets.
Why wouldn't I just reload it then? That's my solution. I'm gonna pull the bullets, dump the powder, because I know the bad ammo that I have, I know it's a powder issue. So I'm going to just dump the powder and reload them.
That's fair.
Hazardous waste drop-off.
And we have those like everywhere?
I don't know.
I'm living in the wrong place.
I don't think we do.
Oh, well, that's fair.
It's the same as the recycling, and then it all gets, you know, they dump it into the same truck, and we'll sort it later. They never do.
That's why I have a bucket of ammo at the shop.
Bring it to the range.
For?
Because they say that they're not advocating that you shoot your bad ammunition. It's that you go and you talk to your range director, your ROs. And they will tell you how to dispose of it or dispose of it
so
for
all
you.
All of a sudden, a range director is an authority on...
I know.
And ROs?
Yeah.
Seriously, how many ROs do you think can shoot correctly?
I think the most of them can shoot pretty well. But we've also discussed several times that most ROs are in that FUD category. And this is the last thing I want to bring to the RO's attention because I'll get ejected from the range.
Yeah, exactly. I brought bad ammo. What do I do with it? You know.
Leave.
Yeah, exactly. call a gun store.
Well, if you bought it there, I can see that as being an avenue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just any random gun store, sure.
Yeah. Well, and the advocacy here is that they're going to know your state's regulations on disposal.
Or they want to sell you some more.
Well, that too. I mean, let's be real. I need more ammo, right?
Yeah, but they're going to want, you know, if you bought it there, a lot of times they're just going to exchange it with the same box of the same stuff.
Yeah, but if you look in every ammo store I've ever been into, they flat out say that ammo sales are final, no returns.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So, you know, what happens in that situation? I mean, my guess is most likely they're going to tell you to contact the manufacturer.
And that's probably a more valid avenue.
Right.
So the manufacturer will have you ship back and they do what they do.
Yep.
Right.
But that's ORMD and you have to pay special handling to get that shipped out. So
it's not as hard as it sounds. A little more costly, but not as hard as it sounds.
There's a lot of liability in ammo manufacturing. Do it all the time. I know. I know you do.
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, I think ammo manufacturers, they even have more stringent quality control and insurance and liability type issues than even the firearms manufacturers.
By far.
Because it's crazy. And we've seen it. Like the devastation that can happen from bad ammo.
Oh, it's epic. I watched a couple of your firearms with this ammo that you had that was bad come apart like angry monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a powder problem. Mm-hmm. You'd never know looking at the ammo that there was an issue. It wasn't a primer upside down or a bullet upside down. It looked fine.
Yeah.
But the only way you find out is either fire it or pull it and check.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that with all my ammo.
No, and to pull it and check, the difference in the ammo, I mean, it's almost microscopic. You can't tell the difference with the naked eye.
Yeah, fair enough. Isolate it, and I'd go a different direction with what you're trying to do.
No,
my advice.
I'm going to pull it, and we'll use the powder for cannon rounds or something.
I have a cannon. We can do that.
And when we say bad ammo, we're not necessarily talking about how you can't hit anything. That's practice and classes, not necessarily the ammo. We're talking blowing up guns, losing primers, you know, things.
Well, yeah. Speaking about not being able to hit anything, we'll be right back.
When it comes to your personal security, you want the best, and your training shouldn't be an exception. WyoTac is your one stop for all of your education and training needs, covering competitive, defensive, and hunting classes, as well as medical, fieldcraft, and survival courses. With over a decade of experience and with a network of resources, WyoTac can help to meet your goals. When no one is coming, you have to rely on yourself. Make sure you know what to do when the time comes. WyoTac, empowerment through self-reliance.
So that's really going to be the big thing this year. I really want to drive our podcast and get us kind of back to our roots of deer shooter. Here's how not to fuck up.
There are some pitfalls. And if you are new to it, it helps to pay attention and listen to the guys that have some experience. Because chances are, the nuggets of information they're giving you, whether it's ego-laden or not, come from a place of experience.
Right. We actually ran into a guy at our New Year's party. And he's a new shooter, just getting into it. And He went out and he bought a new AR, $800 AR, $200 optic. And he was like, when I went down to Colorado over the weekend, he showed this to me and he was almost embarrassed to take it out of the case. And he's like, this is going to be nothing. Like, and I looked at it. I'm like, great. I mean, good AR, nothing wrong with it. And I told him that. I said, you know what? But I would rather you go the inexpensive route on your firearm. Learn how to use it, because like you said earlier, ARs are the Barbie of guns, right? It is easy to upgrade everything on that gun.
You don't like something, you can change it.
Right. And as you learn, you're going to know exactly what you need to change.
for what you're doing with it.
Right.
That's the beauty about the AR platform. They come in pistol configurations, carbine configurations, rifle configurations, all the way up to, geez, the Lapuas now. I mean,
Mall Ninja
9mm configurations. There's everything out there. However you're going to use it, you can make it work.
Right. And it is. It's getting nuts. And Hornady, just stop for a year. Let us catch up with calibers.
I know. Every time they have a press release, I got to buy a new gun.
Like, that's the whole idea. Who are they in cahoots with this time?
I don't
even
know.
Who's building your 22 ARC?
That's why we go to SHOT Show.
Oh, yeah. We'll find out.
So that's coming up, too. What? I asked Michael this, too. What's this going to be the year of? Because last year it was the lever guns, and it was the retro.
The Woodstock ARs.
Yeah.
Some of those are kind of sexy. John Petty, a buddy of mine, has been making some really good-looking vintage versions, and they are neat-looking. It's not something that I'm into, but there's a lot of guys that are.
No, I mean.
But, yeah, what is this year?
It reminds me of the wood paneling in your grandma's car, though.
No, you're talking about
the Oldsmobile Cutlass.
You're talking about the painted Wyndham ones, and those were bad. They painted this wood grain on an AR and called it a classic version. It was not.
Oh, God. I missed that one.
Yeah. That's what she's talking about. The one that looks like decals. Because it was bad.
Oh, so maybe that's what it's going to be this year, is they do those water wrap things.
Hydro dipping.
Yeah, there you go. And maybe it's going to be that, but it's going to be wood paneling on your AR.
I'm excited to see everything that was supposed to come out last year and didn't, so it's going to come out this year.
I'll tell you what, one thing that really frustrated me, because it finally happened like 3 years after when PSA came out with their Dagger. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, and they showed me their prototype of the Dagger, and I was impressed. I mean, yes, Glock clone, but they had this thing, they had the slide cut, and they just, the grip angles were right, and the grip texture was just right. I mean, this was a slick gun. I was really excited. And then it didn't happen. And then 2 years later, they come out with it, and I'm like, this is more simple than a standard Glock.
Now, I know a little bit, probably more than I should,
about that entire circumstance.
They came out with this thing at SHOT Show, and it was a sexy Glock clone. Promised to be $399, all the custom features you ever want in one, and then Glock wrote them a letter. It says, you need to stop. And so they had to let their lawyers fight that out for a little while. In the meantime, the guy that was running the program allowed a bunch of parts in that were out of spec. And then they went and wouldn't go together, and they didn't fire, and so they had a year figuring that crap out again. Now they got it all worked out, and you're seeing the Dagger being sold.
Well, now you've got the Saber.
But it's not the same as it originally started out to be, and it's a basic utilitarian pistol again.
It is. But that, like I said, like when we were shot last year, they had the Saber, which is what the Dagger was supposed to be.
That's right.
So,
and PSA's got a hell of a marketing engine. I know the guy and the gal over there that both run the marketing side, and they're good folks. They put together very interesting product focus from the customer's perspective. They do a good job. But they rush to market to show something off at SHOT, and then it doesn't happen for a long time, sometimes years in this case.
Well, that's everybody.
And SHOT's used as kind of that petri dish of, do people want it? Is it interesting enough? And often the mid-year launch is really when you're going to see one in your hands in most cases. Mm-hmm. You saw that with the lever guns. I think it was Badger Ordnance came out with a 5.56 magazine-fed lever gun, which is an interesting concept because now you can run a rifle cartridge in a lever gun without worrying about a magazine cook-off. And it didn't really get produced and shoved out until last year.
Right.
So, I mean, a year later.
Right.
And Henry, this year, released a new one, and it is a 5.56 lever gun. It's magazine-fed. And they're keeping it kind of in that classic Henry look and feel. But it's a range queen. I don't know what you'd use that for. I mean, you might throw it in your truck to run coyotes with, but outside that, we need to get back somehow to guns people are going to use outside the range.
Well, and that's the absolute problem with everybody in the industry is they call up the gun writers and the media guys, and they're like, what would you want? And they tell them, and they spec it out. And, okay, well, what would you pay for that? $399.
Right.
Okay, you're not getting it for $3.99. And then what they do end up, because they take all these ideas and they put them together and they make a product, right? And then they find out that only six people on the planet want it.
Or are willing to pay for it when it actually comes out.
Yeah, either or.
That's right.
So that, and then, you know, you talked about, you know, the initial dagger, the parts coming in and being out of spec and things like this and PSA. And I'm going to give a little bit of shout out to PSA because I think they get a lot of hate that's undeserved. You know, especially, you know, and I have a couple of rifles with PSA lowers and I get crap for them. But it's like, all right, guys, look, there are three people in the United States that manufacture lowers. It doesn't matter what stamp is on the side.
There are two types of AR lowers. There's a forging and there's a billet.
Mm-hmm.
Billet, they're actually cut by the manufacturer out of a block. Forgings come from, like you said, three places in the country that make forgings. And mm-hmm. then they're finished, at best maybe, finished and stamped with a variance for the FFL's name.
Right.
There's not much difference in your lower.
No.
I don't care if it has Mattel or PSA or Daniel Defense on the side of it. It's still a forging.
Right. Right. It's usually, you know, it's the guts and the barrel that make the gun. And really, truly, the barrel is where the magic happens.
You Every know, time.
As long as you're putting good parts. But I've seen this where guys come to the range and they have this absolute Gucci rifle that they built, but every part was... Well, this is considered the absolute best of these parts in the industry, right? And they put this whole thing together and it won't run because the tolerance between the parts just doesn't jive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to our dear builder. Know what you're doing. Like, make sure that your parts are going to be compatible. And a lot of times, especially, you know, look, I forget, mil-spec triggers, they suck in an AR. Like, go get yourself a match trigger, right? Drop in match trigger, be fine. But your bolt carrier groups, okay, your gas blocks, your gas tubes, those things need to be compatible. Otherwise, and even down to your magazine, like those stuff, that stuff has to be compatible or your gun's not going to run.
Almost every failing in an AR that I've ever run across can be related to bolt carrier group or magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Gas system. If you built it wrong, yes, it's going to fail. A buffer system, if you built it wrong, it's not going to cycle right.
Right.
But if you're going to have a malfunction, it's bolt carrier group or magazine.
Right. And I'll kind of leave everybody with this, like, because this is something we were discussing, because the question was asked of me, you know, what is the point of an adjustable gas block? Well, the point of that is if you're going to run your rifle with a suppressor, you need to be able to adjust that gas output. Otherwise, you're going to take a lot of shrapnel in the face.
All suppressors, except for one on the market, have an overpressure issue.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to create back pressure into a gas system. Unless you're running a piston-driven system,
right,
it's going to matter.
Right.
So that adjustable gas block is critical if you are going to put a can on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, builder. And always, you know, when you're building your guns, make sure that you're building it to what you want to do.
Application-driven.
I will commend our builder. You know, he's talking 22 arc, which I kind of think, you know, 5.56 would be fine, you know. But he wants a precision varmint gun. I get it. And he wants the new Haizu caliber. Go for it.
So the knockoff of the 224 Valkyrie?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess when he gets this thing built, and he still can't hit anything with it, he's either going to have to come to you for better glass or just keep blaming his gun.